Let us pray. Father God, open our ears as we hear your words and speak to our hearts today as we listen to your voice. Amen. Please sit down. Do we have Lizzie here? Lizzie's here. I'm just going to invite Lizzie up to come and tell us a little bit about her story. She'd been touched quite recently about some of the sermons that she's heard on the book of Job. And so Lizzie, you've offered to share some of that with us, haven't you? So would you like to share a bit for us?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. So we were recently looking at Job and kind of how hard it is to wait for God in a place of suffering. And I felt that God might want to share my experience. A few years ago, I had depression. So for a good few months, life was really, really tough. It was a very lonely place to be, a very dark place to be. I felt that it was hard connecting with people. I felt really alone. I tried to connect with God. I tried praying and reading my Bible and listening to worship music and going for walks in the countryside, but nothing could break through the kind of dark wall that I felt around myself. And it was a very sort of lonely and scary place to be. I was in that place for about 8 months, then one night, as I was lying in bed, I felt I had this kind of image in my head of that I was floating in space, and that all of the cords that connected me to the people I knew and to the things that I loved were suddenly broken, and I was just floating by myself with no way of getting back to those people or to those things, and I felt completely lost and powerless. And it was really terrifying. And I cried out to God, as I had done for many months previously, but this time God broke through the silence and spoke to me. carry on. So suddenly a verse, Bible verse, popped into my head. That was my experience of God speaking to me. And I stopped crying immediately and kind of sat up in bed and was like, okay, listened for more. No more came, but my heart started racing. And the Bible verse was, be still and know that I am God. And it wasn't the Bible verse that I'd been expecting God to break the silence with, but it was really, really powerful for me at that time. Suddenly my mind was racing and I was thinking, wow, okay, God is God. If God is God, he's got me. I don't need to be afraid. He made the whole universe. He made space. So if I'm floating in space, it's okay because his arms are completely surrounding space. And so I'm not lost to him and he can find a way to bring me back. I got up and I went downstairs to read my Bible and find that Bible verse and to read it in context. There was another bit in that psalm, it's Psalm 46, that really spoke to me as well, where he says, God is within you, you will not fall, God will help you at break of day. That really kind of struck a chord as well, that not only was God... my mouth's gone really dry... not only was God surrounding me, that he was also within me. And although I felt like there was this brick wall around me that couldn't be penetrated, he was within me in that place, not outside of it, and that I could find him within myself. And he'd been really close to me, as close as he possibly could be the whole time, even though I hadn't perceived him.
How do you think? Yeah, no, go for it.
Read. So I'll read. Yeah, I'll hold that for you.
Thank you. I'm just going to read the psalm. So this is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord and desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you very much. So Lizzie was talking about a time of waiting. And we do a lot of waiting in our lives. Some of us can manage it far better than others. Waiting in queues at the supermarket or waiting on the phone to try and get a doctor's appointment. We all know that one. Waiting for the school holidays to end so the kids go back to school. Or sitting on the M25, maybe waiting test results. We waited a very long time as a church for our vicar. Waiting can be long and tedious and boring, and it can be painful. It can stir up frustration in us and impatience, and sometimes even anger. When we're waiting for something important, it can raise in us lots of anxiety and maybe even fear. In our Mark passage today, the disciples know that they're waiting. But when Jesus bluntly describes the destruction of this amazing and magnificent temple that they're admiring, four of the disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, suddenly seem a little anxious about what they're waiting for. And they go to him privately. They're wanting to know more, wanting to know when, maybe even wondering what this fulfillment that they're waiting for, what is that going to look like? So Jesus tells them, the waiting will not be easy. He tells them to watch out that there'll be deception and battles and opposition. Nature is going to go wrong and it will cause destruction. This is the beginning of the birth pains. This is all in the waiting. But alongside that, Jesus does reassure them. He says, don't be alarmed. It's all necessary. And importantly, the waiting, it will end. And the picture that he uses is of labor, of birth pains. And it's a common image for that time. It was used for centuries in the Jewish faith. It was an image that the prophets, Jeremiah and Isaiah and Micah, they all used it to describe in the Old Testament pain and anguish of waiting. And also ultimately used it to describe the new birth, the birth of something different, something new. And whether we've experienced it personally or not, we know that as you're waiting to give birth and go through a time of labor, it's not easy. And in that time, there can be a lot of learning. Some of it can be learning about yourself. Some of it can be learning something about the people around you. And so when I was sitting with this passage, I decided to give Helen a call. Helen has recently provided us with the newest addition to our church family. Maisie is only 3 weeks old. And so I said to her, Helen, tell me about labor. Tell me about birth pain. And about waiting for Maisie to come. What did you learn in that? And this is what she shared. In the waiting, I learned to rely on someone else, David, when I didn't think I could do it by myself. I learned how I needed someone with me, loving me, encouraging me, and reassuring me. I discovered what I could cope with. I didn't think I could do it, but I could, and I did. I realized how easy it was to lose focus of the end goal, lose sight of the point of what I was doing, because I was concentrating so much on myself and what was happening with me. I learned I could be taken to the edge and that edge was a really tough place to be. But I learned I could come back from it. I realized that I needed experienced people alongside me who knew what they were doing and who could share their wisdom with me. I was so grateful she basically wrote my sermon. It was fantastic. So reliance and love, encouragement, reassurance, focus, wisdom, experience. These are all the things that are learnt and so much more from sitting in a place of waiting. And also sitting there not really knowing or understanding ultimately what's ahead, like the disciples who didn't understand either. What we do know, though, is that it can be painful. Birth pains are painful. And certainly how Jesus described and the experience of this waiting time, it sounded that it was going to be that way. Wars, nations against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, earthquakes, famine, such things must happen in the waiting, Jesus said. But I find these two verses really hard. Because my question is, why must they happen? Why must there be wars and rising up against each other? And I sat there with it for a really long time, and I am sorry to say I don't feel I've come up with an adequate enough answer for you. What I do know is that our world is a complicated and it can be a very sad place. It's not the amazing, beautiful, pure garden that God created. Not what it originally created it to be, although we do have glimpses of that in the world around us and also the people here too. But standing for the injustice, standing for the persecuted people, or fighting against unfair distribution of wealth or the destruction of our planet, protecting those who are oppressed, just as Jesus did, is part of who we're called to be. It's our mission. Now, I don't personally believe that we should do that or it's our calling to do that aggressively or with weapons, but it's part of Jesus' commandment, ultimately, that we do everything in love. Love our enemies, love each other, and part of that is standing for those who need to be loved and doing what we can to protect those who are against them. We're in what feels like a battle for the people and our world. Last week, I think it was, or the other day, my daughter Izzy, who's 13, she was the one crushing grapes up here. She wasn't very impressed, was she? She was due to go to JSD, which is like a home group for the young people. And Claire, the youth worker, had set up for the young people. They were going to be joined by Jenny for a Grill the Vicar session. And the idea was that they got to ask Jenny any question that they liked. So I was driving Izzy back from dance that night, and I said to her, "Do you have a question for Jenny?" I have asked her if I can share this, by the way. And she said, "Yes, I have." She said, "I want to know, if God is all-powerful, why does he allow earthquakes and tornadoes and tsunamis? And if he's all-knowing, why doesn't he stop them? And if he's all-loving, how can he let people die in them?" And I took a sharp intake of breath, and I said, "That's a fantastic question, Izzy." And then I texted Jenny and told her that I would be praying for her that evening. She was, I believe, well and truly grilled. Now, I'm not really going to delve into the question. I'm so grateful Jenny answered it for her. But I believe that we have been hearing preachers about suffering in the world. But I want to acknowledge that actually our world waits for the fulfillment of Jesus. And it's painful, and it's confusing, and it's complicated as we wait. And we're in this middle ground of battle. Jesus died and rose again. We know that. And he defeated death. We know that. And now we're waiting for his promise of return. The writer in Hebrews talks of Jesus' sacrifice, of how he is now sitting at the right hand of God, having finished what he came on earth to do. And he calls us to persevere in our faith. He asks us to acknowledge what Jesus did in our lives and have confidence in a new life that recognizes Jesus' sacrifice for us and his faithful promise of a personal relationship with God for every single one of us. He calls us to draw near to God and to each other with a pure and faithful heart. And in the waiting, the Hebrews writer is asking us to hold on to our hope of as the end approaches, even though we don't know when that will be. So I wonder if you, in your lives, whether you are waiting or are still waiting for something to happen, waiting to see what's ahead, waiting to hear from God like Lizzie was, or waiting for him to intervene in something. Maybe you're waiting for something to begin or something to finish. Or coincidentally, this week, two separate people have mentioned to me who've had a tough year that they are waiting with great anticipation for 2018 to be over for them. And I wonder if in that waiting in your lives, that it raises feelings in you like the disciples, maybe anxiety or fear, or even abandonment. Maybe it feels like an uncomfortable place to be. You might be asking, where are you, God? The Hebrews writer asks us to hold on to the hope. He asks us to hold on to Jesus with full assurance. The Message version mentions it and says, firm grip on the promises to keep us going. Jesus always keeps his word. And if you're sitting in that middle waiting place, or even waiting in what feels like a battleground in your life, like our world is at the moment, be assured that Jesus promises us an end. And it may not be the end that we expect, or it may not be what we want. And in many cases, we don't know when it's going to be. But as childbirth dictates, the end comes and something new is presented to us. Something changes. There is a new birth, a new life, and for our world, ultimately, a new creation. When Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't the end. And amazingly, at that point of death, when he felt abandoned and separate from God, and he was in the most pain, it was then that the best things were happening. So there are two points here: the world and us. We're part of this middling period, part of a history of waiting. And in that, we're called to demonstrate Jesus' love and his peace and his joy to the world we live in. And to demonstrate that to each other, standing for and protecting against the harmful way that the world is treated and God's people in it. And the second part here, for each other, for our own lives and for those around us who will also or may also be in a waiting time. I believe there's something in there for us to reflect on what we're waiting for, acknowledging that maybe that is where we are, that we are waiting. Maybe we don't know it. And finding where we feel God is in that. Learning from within, from the experience, and learning from the people around us. In my waiting to heal after a difficult time last year, I learned that actually I need to keep a really close check on how I am. And I'm rubbish at it. And so I rely on the wisdom and the caring nature, which sometimes I really don't like, of my friends and family around me, and they hold me accountable for how I am. And that's what I learnt when I was waiting in a dark place. There may be a sense that God isn't with you, but I want to reassure you that he is. He's there with you, and I urge you to look for him and to open up to him. We are human beings created to be in community with one another, like we hear it are at St. Paul's, created for friendship and for love. And so let's look around us at maybe those who are needing that encouragement in their faith and in their lives, maybe needing some prayer or reassurance or a cup of tea and a chat. And if it's you that needs that for yourself, I want to ask you to share that actually that's what you need right now. Share it with us, the ministry team. Share it with the prayer ministry team in the corner. Or turn around to the person next to you before you leave today and share it with them. Tell someone that waiting is hard. We are called to persevere in our faith, but there is nothing that says that we must do that alone. And we are called to be people who wait, but there's nothing to say that we must do that alone either. We do that all with one another, but ultimately we're journeying through with God, who's in front of us and behind us, who's above us and below us, and who lives in us too. And that we can be assured of. Amen.